Second Peter, the first chapter, the end of verse 3. To the knowledge of Him that had called us to glory and virtue, or as it reads in my French Bible, in the margin here, that had called us by glory and virtue. Just a few thoughts, dear ones, in perhaps considering this verse in the perspective that in the end of this portion, we would have been called by the glory and virtue of the Lord Jesus. If I had written this concerning our life, I would have written virtue and glory, trying to manifest something of the Lord now, and knowing that our path is going to end in glory in the presence of the Lord, and we're going to be perfectly like Him. But it says here glory and virtue, and I would suggest to you the thought that we could consider some of the glories and virtues of the Lord Jesus that God would produce in our lives. And just a few, I know there are many, just a few that have been set before me. 1 Peter 2:19. For this is thankworthy if a man for conscience toward God endures grief, suffering wrongfully. 1 Peter 2:19-20. For what glory is it if when ye be buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow His steps. Another verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 1. Now I, Paul, myself, beseech you, by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, who in presence am base among you, but being absent am bold toward you. But I beseech you that I may not be bold when I am present, with that confidence wherewith I think to be bold against some, which think of us as if we walked according to the flesh. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalted itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Well, you consider the first portion in Peter, where we have the path of the Lord Jesus, one who suffered like none of us will ever suffer. Misunderstood, misjudged, hated, but He always did that which was right. And this is worthy of glory before God. And I believe that we've been called, as we consider the person of the Lord, to consider the beauty of His pathway down here, and to love it, and to seek by God's grace that it would be found in some measure in our life. And it's in self-denial, isn't it? It's in accepting abuse and being treated wrongly and spoken evil of. How do we react? Well, I believe this is what we've been called to manifest something of Christ in these circumstances. We've been called by this glory and virtue. Here are some of the virtues. 2 Corinthians 10, there are many more, but I just would put these before you. Meekness, gentleness of Christ. Not our natural meekness or gentleness. Perhaps some of them have characters that are leaning towards that. But this is meekness and gentleness of Christ. And then to the fifth verse, the obedience of Christ. Of that one that left the glory and became a man, and as a man, found in fashion as a man, he went down in obedience. What glory? We think of glory as light and unimaginable. But this is moral excellence. Here's one who's the Lord of glory, accepting abuse or spittle, being mocked and going down. And what was in his heart was obedience to the Father. But that would be found in our hearts. Meekness, gentleness, obedience. Virtues that are found in perfection in the Lord Jesus. That should be seen in your life and mine. 1 Peter chapter 5. Touched on this morning when we talked about Simon Peter, and I mentioned that the Apostle Peter, when he speaks of himself, as he speaks to the elders there, we're just going to read a few verses. The elders which are, chapter 5 of 1 Peter, verse 1, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not by filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. We had before us this morning an appreciation of what we would think was the disposition of heart of the Apostle Peter, as he referred to himself as Simon Peter. Certainly realizing himself, as he wrote in that first chapter, second epistle, those that had forgotten the purification of their sins. Well, Peter hadn't forgotten, I'm sure. Reminded of what he was and what he would have been in himself if the Lord hadn't come in for him to save him and then to restore him. And then again to forgive him, as the brother singled out in Galatians there, where he was at fault. And surely we could all recount in our history, the history of our lives as believers, times that we failed and the Lord just came in for us and undertook for us, forgave us, encouraged our hearts and led us along. You know, one of the reasons I believe, we mentioned this morning, God has left us with two natures. He's left us the old one. And just to make sure you'd be humble, dear one, I'd be humble. It's a humbling thing to realize the wickedness of the old nature, to have these thoughts come in your mind, say, "What? How could I be thinking such thoughts?" It's a humbling thing. And the very same person who is abhorred at the thoughts that come in his own heart can contemplate the beauty and the glory of the Lord Jesus. What a wonder. Well, here, in connection with the leaders, I just have a little play on words, if you'll allow me. Talking with a brother just before the meeting, said how English sometimes was difficult because the words mean different things. You know, the word lead, L-E-A-D, I could pronounce it led. And it's written exactly the same thing. But it's quite different, doesn't it? And I'd like to suggest a thought here, to talk of leaders as letters. People that carry weight. Lead is a heavy metal. It carries weight. And certainly those that take the lead among us carry weight. They carry moral weight. They carry moral authority, you might say, from the Lord to be a help to us. And the Apostle Peter exhorts them here because there's a danger for those who carry moral weight to have a position of responsibility before the Lord that they carry out with their brethren. There's a danger that this old man in us might just get into those things that we're called not to do. And there are two things about lead that I just would like to compare. You know, lead is a heavy metal, and that is a good characteristic if you want something to be stable. And there's a virtue in this, I believe it's 1 Corinthians 15, it says there the word unmovable. If I was physically in lead, you'd have a hard time moving me. I probably couldn't move around myself. But this is a good thing, to be unmovable. And yet when it's a question of the glory of the Lord or the truth of God and fundamental things that the enemy would just like to rob us of, it's good to be just unmovable, abounding in the work of the Lord. But you know, lead, unless I'm mistaken, I believe it's one of the heaviest metals, is also the softest. It's the softest metal. It's a wonderful thing, you know, if the Lord has given some of you to be in the position of oversight, you might call it, for the people of God, to be unmovable, yet to have that virtue that James talks about, easily entreated. Easily entreated, to be soft-hearted, to be ready to listen to the difficulties of others, and to be unmovable, but easily entreated. Then it goes on a little bit later on. It says, you youngers, submit yourselves unto the elder. Well, you know, it's the characteristics of youth, of being full of energy, and even in the things of the Lord, as we understand the scriptures, and perhaps we're young and we're full of zeal, and perhaps we consider there's apathy and neglect, and perhaps our hearts are led to criticize. I know mine is. And the Lord wouldn't have us do that, or murmur. It speaks here of submitting. It's a wonderful spirit to have a submissive spirit, because this was the spirit of the Lord Jesus. And this is the ability, the power that God has given, the divine power to be meek, lowly, obedient, and submissive. That takes divine power. It doesn't take divine power to get upset. I've got a lot of that natural energy to get upset. I'm sure you have too. Sometimes we get upset at each other, wives and husbands, children and parents, brethren together. We get upset at each other. Well, that's not meekness, lowliness, obedience, submission. That's not that kind of energy. That's energy, natural energy, energy of the flesh. So we have words here for the elders, and we have words for the younger. And I have a word on my heart for those in the middle. I want to thank my brethren in the middle. My brethren in the middle, I want to thank those that take the lead. I want to thank the young ones for being zealous. But I want to thank my brethren in the middle who kind of help us out, become a tamper when our spirits get riled up. I know in the last difficulties, several brethren in the middle had a talk with me, and they really helped me. And I'm so thankful they did, because I was upset. I'm sure many of you were upset. But the Lord does come in, doesn't he? Meekness, gentleness, obedience, submission, glory and virtue that he's called us by in the Lord Jesus.